Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me by phone this morning, the Reverend Curtis Garland, pastor of First Lutheran Church in Wall, South Dakota, and Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Creighton, South Dakota. Good morning, Pastor Garland.
Good morning, Andy. Good to be with you this morning.
Thank you so much. It's good to have you with us this morning. Tell us about the ministry where you serve at First Lutheran Church in Wall and Emmanuel in Creighton, South Dakota.
Well, Wall is, of course, the home of world-famous Wall Drug. You can't drive into South Dakota without seeing the signs. But the community is a rural community. Both communities are largely ranchers and farmers. Lots of cattle around. Not a lot of people.
So it's a ministry to the few people and the all the cattle there then, huh?
Exactly. <yeah. laughs> You spend some time interacting with them, sticking brands on them and things like that.
Well, certainly I'm sure a ministry to those who work in that industry and take care of the cattle there. I'm certain. Well, tell us about what got you interested in short-term missions.
Well, a question actually started it all. Pastor David Swan, who was our district executive at the time, asked me shortly after I got to South Dakota if I wanted to go to Hong Kong. And I said, sure. I've been to Hong Kong before. I'll go again. Why are we going? And he told me about the short-term mission trips that we've been doing to Hong Kong, and that was the beginning of it.
So it started with a question. Did you know what you were getting into at that time?
Well, not exactly. And it's an evolving thing, so I don't know that I still know exactly what I'm in for.
Well, what you wrote an article for the District News, the South Dakota District News, which is a supplement to the Lutheran Witness, entitled "Why Do Short-Term Missions to Hong Kong Matter?" And so tell us about what prompted writing this.
Well, a couple things, actually. The one thing that you hear quite often from people in general and people within the LCMS, too, is that short-term missions don't really do much. And I beg to differ with that on several levels, of course. But our short-term missions are important, and particularly in a mission area like Hong Kong, they're important to our long-term goals of bringing the gospel to the people, not only in Hong Kong itself, but also in mainland China. So it's been kind of an ongoing series of articles that those of us who've been going have been doing, and this was the latest iteration of that, and trying to express the importance of people going and doing short-term missions, not only because we bring the gospel to people and allow the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts, but also because there are implications to not doing them. We think it's important to do everything we can to further our opportunity to spread the gospel.
How often have you traveled to Hong Kong?
Well, I've actually been there 8 times. Mm-hmm. The first 3 times were in my previous career, flying airplanes off of aircraft carriers in the Navy. But I've been there for the last 5 years in a row, once a year, for the last 5 years for the short-term mission trips.
And tell us about what you've learned when you're there. What have you learned about the culture? What have you learned about Hong Kong and the people there?
Well, Hong Kong's kind of an interesting entity. It's a very cosmopolitan city, so you have a lot of nationalities there. But the Hong Kong people themselves are, of course, very polite and open to listening to a message. So they, for the most part, do not outright reject the hearing of the gospel and that sort of thing. But our work is primarily with the schools of the Lutheran Church Hong Kong Synod.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hong Kong Synod runs several parochial schools, and we work with a couple of the secondary schools in Hong Kong. And so our ministry primarily is to the youth, 6th grade through 12th grade, at least the equivalents of that. And the kids are very enthusiastic. They're always happy to see us there and interact with us. And the gospel lessons that we are able to present to them We get to see that affect their lives in a lot of cases, and that's rewarding in itself, but the larger picture is that we pray that through our presentation of the gospel, we do actually, the Holy Spirit brings a lot of them to Christ and provides more workers for the harvest field, because it's certainly a ripe, ripe harvest field in Hong Kong itself and in mainland China as well. About 10% of the population over there is Christian, and the vast majority, well over 60%, is basically nothing. So certainly a ripe mission field.
Certainly, there are great opportunities to proclaim the gospel there. How is it received? What are the parameters and under which you have to work? You know, I don't know if we fully understand, living here in North America. Certainly, every day it seems like our religious freedom is shrinking. But what about in Hong Kong? What about in mainland China?
Certainly, mainland China is still very difficult to officially be anything but atheist. Hong Kong's a different matter, because it was under it was basically part of colonial England for so long, and the fact that the Chinese government, whenever they took over China, and I believe it was 1997. Kept it as a special administrative region. So Hong Kong still has their own government. They still have the most of the freedoms that they had under the English. And so religious freedom is there in Hong Kong. We're not impeded in our presentation of the gospel by any means at this point by the government at all. Working through the parochial schools, the nice thing is that parents who send their kids there know that they're going to have Bible classes. They're going to learn about the Christian faith as a subject in their classes. We are able to go there and try to relate a gospel message directly to the kids. And we work through what's called the International Interface Program, which is an initiative by President Young of the Hong Kong Synod to get native English speakers into their schools to not only to present the gospel, but also to help with conversational English and building English skills, because that's very important for the kids for their comprehensive exam that they have, which not only includes all the core subjects, math, science, and so forth, history and geography, but also three languages: English, Cantonese, which is the native language of Hong Kong, and Mandarin Chinese, which is mainland China's official language, of course.
And so when you make a visit, when you visited, I have you learned any of the Mandarin or Cantonese?
Yes and no. Actually, I do know a few words of both Mandarin and Cantonese, but they're both difficult languages, but especially Cantonese, because it's a very tonal language. So how you say the word is very important. And I have a great difficulty with the tones. I can hear the tones. I can't replicate them very well. So you could use the same word in Cantonese with nine different tonal inflections to say nine different things that are completely unrelated. So I'm not very good at it. The good thing is that that they speak English quite well over there, and the kids enjoy challenging their English skills with us, so it works out pretty well.
Well, I'd like to talk about some of the highlights from some of your trips when we come back. We need to take a quick break. We'll continue our conversation with the Reverend Curtis Garland, pastor at First Lutheran Church in Wall and Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Creighton, South Dakota. We've got more conversation right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Celebrate the ministry of Worldwide KFUO during Charathon 2015. Join us April 23rd, 24th, and 25th as we celebrate with some of your favorite on-air friends. Charathon 2015 will be 3 days of fun and faith, along with an opportunity for you to show us your support. Remember to join us for Charathon 2015, April 23rd through 25th. And please, prayerfully consider supporting Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson with an invitation for you to join me over the weekday noon hour for Moments of Assurance, your lunchtime spiritual recipe. You'll enjoy encouraging scriptures, a bit of Bible history and trivia, news items, humor, the kids' corner, and more, all mixed in with faith-strengthening sacred music, a blend just right for your midday hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance over the weekday noontime hour here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
As we age, our needs change, but there's no one-size-fits-all solution. That's why Lutheran Senior Services offers everything from low-income housing to senior living communities that provide all levels of care, to in-home services, to hospice. Our mission of older adults living life to the fullest comes from John 10, verse 10, where Jesus says he came so that we might live life in abundance, now and into eternity. Improving the lives of seniors wherever they call home. LSSLiving.org.
The world is the mission field of Worldwide KFUO. We bring the gospel of Christ to all nations. Worldwide KFUO reaches countries where missionaries on the ground can't go. Christ called us to proclaim the gospel to all nations. And that's what we do here every day at Worldwide KFUO. If our mission and worldwide outreach is important to you, would you please prayerfully consider supporting Worldwide KFUO at KFUO.org.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are talking with the Reverend Curtis Garland, pastor at First Lutheran Church in Wall and Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Creighton, South Dakota. And we're talking about short-term missions in Hong Kong. Pastor Garland, tell us about some of the highlights from your trips to Hong Kong, some of the things that have really stood out on your short-term trips.
I think a couple of the things that really stand out for anybody that goes to Hong Kong with us. We get a day of sightseeing, and we use that as kind of an indoctrination for our new team members that haven't been. And one of the most, I guess, visceral experiences that we have is taking them to a major Taoist temple in Hong Kong. The Wan Tai Sien Temple is, of course, open all the time for people to come and bring their sacrifices and their prayers and get their fortune told and everything else. But that whole experience of the temple, your eyes are torn from the amazing architecture of the temple itself to all the people who are in the courtyard of the temple, bowing down with their sacrifices of fruit and food for their ancestors and the incense burning throughout the temple. The smell just fills the air. And you look around at all these people and realize that they're lost. Mm. And that the whole purpose, the whole reason that we're there is to try to help some be found by the Holy Spirit. And so it's a very intense experience, especially the first time you go and see that. This last time we were there, we went a couple of different places because we had a team that, with the exception of one person, had been there before. And we went to a small fishing village. It's one of the few places that's more or less kind of traditional Hong Kong, called Tai O. But you walk around the little town of Tai O, and you see all of these individual shrines at businesses and homes and things like that. And it's not quite as intense an experience, but as you see them just over and over and over and over as you walk the blocks of that little fishing village, you come to the same realization that, this is a ripe mission field. There are so many people who are lost and without the hope of Christ. So.
Do you hope that eventually we'll have the opportunity to travel and to mainland China and proclaim the gospel there?
Certainly. I would love to do that, especially the latter part. I would like to go to China just for the trip, but to be able to go to China and to be able to proclaim the gospel without, you know, fear of arrest and reprecation, wouldn't that be an amazing thing? 1.4 plus billion people who are officially atheist, and in actuality, a good portion of them kind of practice Confucianism, Taoism, Buddhism, ancestor worship, folk religions, or some mishmash of all of those. But yes, and we see Hong Kong as kind of the door to getting into China. Certainly, our brothers and sisters in the Hong Kong Synod see it that way. I feel if the people who are doing work in Hong Kong right now are going to be the ones, as China opens up, who will be allowed or be invited to come in and work in China as well. So,
tell us about our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Lutheran Church there, the Lutheran Church Hong Kong Synod.
Well, I think in a lot of respects they're a lot like us. That they worship Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they love Jesus. They do actually mission trips of their own. The church at the school where we go, Amazing Grace Lutheran Church, is active, particularly in their youth group, and going to Taiwan to do mission trips and teach VBS in Taiwan every summer. So, they are working in the mission field, not only locally, but out of the country as well. And like our brothers and sisters in Christ here, they're a great group of people. They love one another. They love Christ. And it's been a real privilege for me as we've gone over there to be able to bring that word to them and their Sunday worship services there at the school. So as that we're in altar and pulpit fellowship with them, I'm able to do that. And this last year when we were there, January, February when we were there, I also had the privilege of assisting with the Lord's Supper there as well. So it was a great privilege. But always except language, I think they're very much like us here in the States.
That was my next question. Was the service familiar? Was it a bilingual service, did you say?
It is when we're there.
Maybe more than two languages.
We'll sing the hymns in Cantonese and English, and we'll do the liturgy in Cantonese and English. Sometimes simultaneously. Sometimes we will do the Cantonese and then the English. But we're able to worship, and you're certainly able to follow along. Our team that goes to the other school, Concordia Lutheran School there, their church uses the traditional page 5, but it's in, from the TLH, but it's in Cantonese, of course. So you can just follow along there, you know, right when you're supposed to do the responses. You just do them in English while they do them in Cantonese.
What a blessing of having that common language of the music of the church, the church's song and the liturgy. What a blessing to have that gift, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Even if we don't necessarily speak the same language, we can still sing together, singing the same thing, just in different languages.
Exactly.
Kind of a glimpse, I think, of what... just a very small glimpse of perhaps what heaven might be like.
Well, I think you've got a good point there. we're all with one voice.
Sure.
Yeah,
with one voice, we confess and sing, even if it might be with a different language.
Certainly.
Well, when do you hope to go to return? What lies in the future?
Well, this year, actually, I'm going back in October. The school has a program that they call the American Fun Fest, where they open the school to the community and to the primary schools and the parents to come in. And the kids actually put together booths that that address American culture. I mean, they'll take a state and do a presentation about a state, whether it's a diorama or some snacks or something that relates to the state, and talk to the people about that. But the school's always had a team there, and the last few years there's been a team from Wisconsin there, but they're not going this year. And we see that's an important outreach for them, for the community. It's an important opportunity for us to be there. So I'm going to go back this year a second time, and the congregations have graciously allowed me to do that. But we'll be there for that American Fun Fest, and then I'll basically have to decide when I'm going. We're going to continue the October time frame or our traditional slot in January, February. Hmm. But we do have other teams going over. We have another team going over led by Pastor David Swan, who's in Rapid City in May. And we did have a team that went right after us in February to Concordia Lutheran School.
Well, very good. How can we find out more if listeners are interested, would like to be involved, whether going on the trip or supporting the trip?
Certainly, they can contact me via email, either at the church, which is walllutheran@gwtc.net. Just make sure you get all three L's in there. Or my personal email is khakiman@juno.com. That's khakiman@juno.com. Or they can find me on my Facebook page, which is just my name, Curtis Garland.
Well, very good. Very good. Well, any encouragement to those who might be considering, might be thinking about why short-term trips, short-term missions to Hong Kong would make a difference, why they matter?
Well, I think the biggest thing is to realize that any time you're able to present the gospel to another person is an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work. We are just God's tools in this world, essentially, to do his work, to spread the gospel, and allow the Holy Spirit to work in the world. So any opportunity to present the gospel in Hong Kong or anywhere else in the world is singularly important. The important thing about our short-term trips to Hong Kong, I think, are the fact that we continue to go. We establish relationships and continue to work on those relationships back here, particularly with all the technology in Hong Kong. These kids are on Facebook and Instagram and everything else. And mm-hmm. We maintain contacts with them throughout the year. So it's not just a single touch and you're gone. It's a touch and keep in contact, and you're back the next year. And I think that's the biggest thing, is the relationships built during short-term missions, if you keep those up, are very important to allowing the Holy Spirit to work in the hearts of these people who either have no religion at all, or they're stuck in the traditions of their ancestors in Buddhism and paths that don't lead to salvation.
Mm. How do you, with just a couple minutes left, how do you even begin conversations when you know someone embraces that worldview that these religions of their ancestors and these religions that teach another god, a false god, other than Jesus?
Well, the beautiful thing about our short-term missions and working in the school is that part of we get to teach in the classrooms, and we always bring a gospel presentation of some sort to them. It's a little different every year, just to keep it interesting, because we're going to see some of these students for the next 5 years. But the conversation in the classroom is usually the spark that brings conversation later, after class and things like that. But the kids are largely curious. They want to know. They want to know, one, why you bother coming to talk to us. Two, why do you believe in this Jesus? And so they, oftentimes they're kind of the ones that spark the conversation. You can add, and the temple, the sightseeing opportunities, we take students along on that. So that's an opportunity to ask them, kind of is this your faith? Is this what you believe? What do you, you know, if not, what do you believe? And it's a good opportunity just to interact there. And a lot of it comes as you build relationships with the kids, talking to the kids, interacting with the kids in non-overtly gospel ways, just being a part of their everyday life and getting to know them. Then they open up about their faith and about asking you about yours. And so the classroom conversation is a big spark. The sightseeing trips is another. And then just building a relationship with these students, allowing them to a little insight into your life and to build some trust. And then they feel confident in coming to you and talking to you about those things.
Well, very good. Thank you so much, Pastor Garland, for your time this morning and sharing with us about short-term missions to Hong Kong.
You're very welcome, Andy. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. God bless you and all the saints that you serve there in Wall and Creighton, South Dakota. Thanks so much. God's blessings. Coming up in just a little bit, we have more of His time. We're going to study the daily New Testament reading during the 8 o'clock hour. Stick around for more right after this break.